Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You ready for the Celtics to be back?
I think I am ready for the Celtics to be back.
I kind of think they're back.
I think they might be. That's a good Cleveland team. You know me. I like Cleveland Cavs. I'm a big Cavs guy.
You're maybe the biggest.
I might be the biggest Cavs guy, and I've been proven right all season long.
Well,
they're a 40-win team. I didn't say they're better than the Celtics. I just said they're the best team in the
true.
East.
You never said they were the best team in the East. You just said they were the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East.
Second best team in the East.
Yes.
So record-wise, still the best team in the East. But I think I think last night, that's your Eastern Conference Finals right there. I think that's how it's going to shake out. I know you still like the Knicks. The Knicks have obviously a couple of, all-star players, but so do the Cavs. And, good win for the Celtics, because even on this little winning streak, we've kind of looked at it and been like, well, they needed a buzzer beater against the Pelicans, and just they dug themselves a 26-point deficit against the Sixers.
The good
Sixers.
News is you came back from 26 down against Philly, but you were down 26 to one of the worst teams in the league.
This was odd. You're like, yeah, you'll take the win, because it certainly looked like, all right, that's just going to be a loss. Like, they might just pack their stuff. Nope, they came around. So we hit on that a little bit on Monday because, the weekend was sort of, 2 wins, but you're still sort of scratching your head a little bit about where they're at. But no, a win on the road against the Cavs, that's, short of winning at Oklahoma City or something like that, that's as good of a win as you can have in the league right now.
Yeah, so I thought it was a real nice win for the Celtics last night. And I think, I know, there's a lot of you out there who feel this way about the Celtics. They're still the best team in the league. No one's arguing they're the most talented team in the league, but the best team in the league, they got a little bored in January and February. They're capable of flipping the switch when they need to. I think if you're in that group who feels that way, this is something I would bring to the table as evidence. I wouldn't crow too loudly about it. Like, you can't be the person who says it's just the NBA regular season. It's January and February. The games are meaningless. Don't worry about this when they lose, and then turn around and thump your chest when they win. I don't think you can do that. But if you want to cite this as evidence where the team can flip the switch, engage, turn it up when they need to, this to me would be a game like that. Now, I'm less sold on Cleveland than you are. I think Mitchell is an absolute killer.
He's awesome.
But I still don't love their options after
Mitchell. You don't like Garland. You're down on Garland.
I don't like Garland.
Do you still think Garland's worse than Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still don't like Darius Garland. He didn't play well last night.
No, I know.
So I don't like Garland. And
I don't know if Peyton Pritchard was great.
No, he wasn't. Pritchard with the 4-point foul at the end of the game, the turnover at the end of the game. No. Pritchard wasn't great either. But, if Pritchard was on a team next to Donovan Mitchell and got to shoot as much as he did,
true,
I think he'd be okay.
Oh, yeah, Pritchard has bad teammates.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if he got to really use the volume that Darius Garland gets and the touches Darius Garland gets and he didn't come off the bench, I mean, I think they could be similar players, but whatever.
No, you know who killed them was Mobley.
Mobley was invisible last night.
Mobley is good, but sometimes you see him and he looks like that.
I still don't think Jared Allen is he's a junkyard guy.
Machine.
Yeah, he's a guy who's going to get second chances, and you can throw him lobs. You can't run stuff for him offensively. So Jared Allen, nice player, but if he's your second best player like he was last night, you're not very good.
No.
I came away with that game impressed with Tatum. I don't think Tatum had the greatest numbers last night, but I think when you look at their ball movement and anytime they needed a big possession, when the Cavs would go on a run to cut it from 15 to 8 or 20 to 14 or whatever it was, it felt like the Cavs had some momentum. I feel like Tatum kind of stemmed that tide. The overall numbers weren't great last night. I like Tatum's game last night.
Yeah, I did too. And overall, it looked like a game that I'm like, they're going to take 65 threes tonight. The way the pace started, the way they were just they weren't even making them in the first quarter, but they were just launching.
Neither team could make anything
Nobody could buy a bucket for a while. I mean, Jaylen Brown was scoring, and then that was kind of about it. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to just take a million threes. So that pace cooled off a little bit. But one of my other takeaways would just be the fact that they had all their guys, and they've sort of tripped over themselves in a lot of these games where they're like, all right, here's the real starting lineup that you want. Here are the real what ended up being four guys off the bench that you want. So if you're going to play nine guys with the Celtics currently, these would be the nine guys. And yet so many times they haven't looked right, or they've lost to inferior opponents or whatever else it might be. And you're like scratching your head saying, well, what Porzingis is playing and Holiday's playing, like what's going on? And they got it done last night. And so we'll see what kind of rotation they have, you know, come playoff time, depending on the matchups, things like that might change. But this is just further proof of the, even when they've had some hiccups along the way, when it goes back to the question of what team is going to beat the Celtics four times in a seven-game series, you're saying, or at least I'm saying, probably not any, right? It might not be pretty. There might be some tough games along the way. You know, unlike last season where they beat everybody in like four or five, maybe this year there's more of a grind. Maybe it is 6-7, but you're still feeling that the Celtics are going to win it.
So from that standpoint, the grind aspect of trying to work your way out of the East, which I do think will be more difficult. It's not the way I envisioned it. I thought the Knicks and Sixers both got better in the offseason. Turns out the Sixers did not. They got Embiid back finally last night.
Yeah.
But George hasn't been a good fit. Like,
there
it's
was
not
a good
that
tweet
team.
The other day. Embiid reacted to the Luka Davis trade. And he was like, wow, or whatever. And then somebody retweeted it. It was like, bro, you're not even in the league anymore.
So I thought it would be the Knicks and the Sixers better in the East. It turns out it's the Cavs and the Knicks. So the math still works out the same. I don't think the Celtics need the one seed. No. I don't think they need it by any means. They're within shouting distance of it now after a head-to-head victory, and they still have Cleveland again, one more head-to-head game this season. They can win three out of four, matched up against the Cavs. I don't think they need it, but the idea that if you get the one seed, not only do you get game sevens on your home floor, but you also maybe avoid that back-to-back nature of Cleveland and New York. Maybe they pick each other off on the other side. I think they could do themselves some favors from that standpoint, but if you're asking me, could the Celtics beat the Knicks in round two and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference final even as the two seed? Of course they could.
They definitely could. Right now, it would be, if it just plays out the same, it'd be Heat, Knicks, Cavs on the way to the NBA Finals, which...
But if you catch the Cavs, maybe it's...
And I think they can.
It's like Heat, Orlando, and then the winner of that series. It would just be much easier on you to do that.
Don't you think, was it 32 games left, or 31, I think, for the Celtics, 32 games left for the Cavs? You mentioned the one head-to-head, 4.5 games. The Cavs are clearly off their pace. It's not like the Celtics are a house of fire by any stretch. We just got done talking about how a couple games over 500 for December, couple games over 500 for January. Like, it really wasn't a great stretch, but the Cavs have come back down to earth a little bit. I mean they're still 40-10. Like, that's a good,
but they started 15-0. What does that make them, 25-10 or whatever since that point? Like, that's less overwhelming.
It's definitely doable, and it's one of those things where I don't even know if the Celtics have to really go for it, right? Because we've seen them on nights, either guys are out due to injury or guys are, you know, resting or whatever, and they're still fine, right? They still have so much more talent than most of these teams that they play that I definitely wouldn't rule out them taking the Cavs down for the number one seed and then let the Cavs and the Knicks play each other in the second round and, you know, eliminate each other.
No, so I think that would be the benefit.
Yeah.
It's not a must for this team by any means. I still think they've underachieved based on what we expected out of them, but maybe they're righting the ship. You want to throw that in our faces? You can. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there on the phones and the text line. Do the Celtics need the one seed? How would they match up with a team like Cleveland? Do you even respect the Cavs, which I kind of don't at the end of the day? All your feedback there. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. We already have a text rolling in here this morning. Keefe, I think Terp changed the header on the Twitter account, maybe on Instagram as well.
Oh, I think also the podcast photo.
Oh, so maybe that is
I think, well, we had photo day. We told you about picture day.
That's what this individual is referencing. Yeah. They said, good morning. Your show's publicity photo finally popped up in my Audacy app.
Nice.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Yeah.
Now I get the face for radio jokes I've always heard.
Son of a gun.
Burned us.
Setting us up.
I haven't even finished my coffee yet.
I was like, thanks for already subscribing. And then, ow! Oh, man.
Do you think that, you take that as a joke about you or me?
Both.
You think that's a both?
It's a combination.
I was hoping
it's a double KO. No, I think it's both of us.
I was hoping it was about you. I'm guessing it was about me, but I was hoping
it was
about
you. They didn't specify, so I believe it's both.
Okay. If you could follow up on that text, that'd be very much appreciated. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can see some of the images there. Plus, you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Wiggy stirred the pot a little bit this morning. He was wondering why Jaylen Brown didn't play the final 5:30 of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was speculating, and he had five fouls. But he was speculating maybe Jaylen wasn't thrilled about sitting the final 5:30. You can't argue with the fact that he sat the final 5.5 minutes. Why do you think he sat? He was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
The team was playing well with him off the floor. Derek White heated up almost the second he went to the bench. Why do you think he was out the final 5:30?
So a couple of things I think could be in play here, or three possibilities, right? Maybe you just feel like the guys on the floor are playing well enough and you're going to be able to close out the game with the guys that you have. That's one possibility. Two, maybe he's dealing with a little something. Maybe, you know, something's barking at him and maybe he's a little bit banged up.
This is what Forsberg suggested last night on the postgame. Forsberg suggested Jaylen maybe wasn't fully healthy.
Maybe 100%. Third, and this is not something we've talked about a lot since really year one on the job, but Mazzulla, sometimes Mazzulla would get caught with his pants down in the fourth quarter of games. That was a couple years ago. I don't think that's happened as much. Remember there would legit be games where Derek White wouldn't play in the fourth quarter and he'd be asked about it? He's like, yeah, I didn't realize that. You're like, wait, what?
Right.
So I think that's behind him. But like, sometimes did he just get so locked in on the game that he doesn't even realize what he's doing? I think it's more likely maybe the second thing. Like if Forsberg is hinting at maybe an injury, maybe he felt like, all right, you know, is he really going to help us out right now? And if he's not 100%, is this something that he needs to rest a little bit? Because, yeah, you have five fouls. Like, okay.
Yeah, put him back in with a minute or two left.
What are you saving him for? Overtime?
Exactly.
Like, if he fouls out, he fouls out.
So I hope it's not they went away from him because the team was playing well down the stretch. Not that I want to wish injury on Jaylen, but maybe it was just something like, hey, Terp said he rolled his ankle in the second quarter. I'll be honest, I didn't notice that watching the game. But, okay, maybe he rolled his ankle and Mazzulla said, look, you don't have it tonight. Let's err on the side of caution. I think we got the game anyway. I would hope it's something like that.
You think it's Mazzulla, text line saying Mazzulla kind of punching him for the technical foul?
I mean, he went back in after the technical foul, yeah. So I don't think it's that.
Probably not.
He got the technical foul midway through the third. He played in the fourth quarter, so I don't think it's that. But maybe Jaylen didn't have the best attitude. That would be a worse situation for me.
But Tatum and Brown are the two guys to me that you're like, all right, things are going great, but we should still get this guy back in. You know, maybe everybody else, like, even as great as Drew Holiday is, like, if you're really rolling on
Pritchard,
a comeback run, yeah,
Pritchard
you maybe stick
rolling,
with Pritchard. Like, right,
you stay the hot hand with Holiday. Yeah. You do the same thing with even Derek White, Porzingis, and Horford. You can teeter-totter those two.
Yeah, those guys, you
Tatum
find a way to
and Brown,
you get them back in the game.
Those guys should be out there.
They
so
finish the game.
I wouldn't blame Jaylen if he was pissed and it wasn't communicated to him. Maybe it was an injury.
Or if
maybe he was stewing. Maybe it was just foul trouble and the team was hot. I don't blame him for being frustrated. He was frustrated not playing the final 5:30 of a close game against the team with the best record in the league.
Luckily, Mazzulla was asked about a post game, and oh no, he was not asked about a post game.
Yeah, what happened? Did the Bruins beat writers go to Cleveland and cover the Celtics game last night? What happened with that? We'll get to the Bruins coming up. Meanwhile, big trade. Well, you tell me if it's
big
trade, Keith. It's a big team in the East making a trade, or at least it used to be.
We're going to have our trade deadline special tomorrow, but they're going to use all the picks now? Or all the trades now?
Do you want to use our... We got to save that for tomorrow?
I thought we have a different. Is this the NBH sounder?
This is the one because I haven't made an NBH.
Well, we gotta fine tune it for the trade deadline tomorrow, Keith. Just
right,
a little
anyway.
Taste.
All right, what do you have for
breaking?
A trade?
From okay, Shai Charania, the Milwaukee Bucks trading Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and a pick swap to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin, and a second round pick. Blah blah blah. It's basically Kuzma for Chris Middleton. The Bucks are making a deal.
Wow,
that feels like. I don't know. We have a resident Bucks fan, Jacob, in the other room. Thumbs up or thumbs down on dealing Chris Middleton. Thumbs up or thumbs down. He can't hear me.
He can't hear you. He's just staring at you.
He can't hear me in the other studio.
I don't understand that to be the case. But You didn't mention it's the corpse of Chris Middleton being traded for Kyle Kuzma.
Who would you rather? I mean, Middleton feels done, but who would you rather have, Middleton or Kuzma?
Probably Kuzma.
Yeah?
He's saying Kuzma.
At this point, Kuzma, even with his silly goose outfits that he wears.
Homer Bucks fan in there.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever move they make is the best move.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Middleton really, and a lot of it's been due to injury. He hasn't been good for 4 years.
He feels cooked. I agree with that.
He's washed.
I still think I'd rather hope that you can rekindle whatever you've had in the past with Middleton and Giannis that group.
No, he's done.
As opposed to Kuzma. You think Kuzma's going to come in and help anything?
I think he's better than Middleton right now.
Isn't there a problem defense? Kuzma doesn't play any of that.
Well, Middleton doesn't really do much of anything right now.
No, I mean,
right,
Middleton probably just stands there, but at least he's been a big game player with a history. I think I'd rather just hold on to Middleton, personally.
Or make another play. Middleton's contract?
Yeah, I thought it was almost up.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the time is up on this guy. Let's see. He is under contract for this season, and then it looks like a player option. Ooh, he can opt in for $34 million next year.
He's probably doing that in Washington.
Oh, boy.
That's the 5 seed in the East right now making that trade.
He was one of those great guys, though. It happens in every sport where you can only be the most underrated player in the league for so long until you become kind of overrated and then, like, washed.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think Middleton gets bought out?
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess he could. But you have to pay him a lot because he's got $34 million guaranteed to him next year.
Yeah, no, that's a good
point.
No
one's giving him that over the next 3 years.
Maybe you can't buy that guy out. So, look.
Yeah, that's an interesting trade.
I didn't fear the Bucks anyway.
No.
Middleton's a big name. I didn't fear the Bucks anyway. I probably fear them less with Kyle Kuzma out there.
So, he wasn't doing much, but one thing is he doesn't take a lot of threes, but he was hitting a good percentage this year, which Kuzma's not. Middleton was. Middleton was 40% from three.
I'm sure if you let him just
stand there.
His dead body out there, weekend at Bernie's, his way into a three or two. Like, if you just leave him all alone. But no, I feel like Kuzma.
He had a good run, though.
Kuzma just doesn't. His numbers look okay on a terrible Washington team, but he doesn't know how to play.
Chris.
So I don't think that helps anything.
K H R I S. Classic Chris.
I would say destined to fail, except that guy was a good player for a while. And
he
NBA
was.
Champion.
No, he was good. He was a good player.
But yeah, Chris with a K. K H R I S. I mean, Chris Humphreys didn't have the H, right? He was also a Chris with a K.
He was Chris with a K, but no H. Just K R I S.
Chris Crush Davis.
Chris Crush Davis.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
No, Crush Davis was regular Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was
Chris Davis? Was the Athletics.
The one who hit 247 for three consecutive years.
Yeah. Well, maybe Chris with a K works out better than I thought for professional athletes.
Do you want
nice player.
Do you want to know what Chris Middleton's nicknames were?
Chris Middleton's nickname?
Yeah. He's three of them.
K-Mid. He was super mid.
Cash Money, spelled K-H-A-S-H.
I like that. How about Crash Bandicoot with a K?
No. WD-40.
WD-40?
Which makes no sense. It's not his initials nor his number.
What number was he?
22. It makes no sense. Oh, there he is, WD-40.
Hey.
Based on what? And then also Baby Joe Johnson, which I don't remember anybody ever calling him Baby Joe Johnson.
I don't remember anybody calling him WD-40.
Or Cash Money. This is outrageous.
Called him K-Mid.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can jump in on that.
Now he's mid.
Yeah. He's sub-mid now. 617-779-7937. Teams are making deals. You got the trade deadline tomorrow. Little taste of that today here on Jones and Keefe. Are the Celtics back? Do you respect the Cavs? Who's the biggest threat in the East? And what's going on with Jaylen down the stretch last night? We can get into all of it. Plus, Bruins, big winners last night. Jeremy Swayman with the shutout. Yeah, Billy Lanny with the details here. And we're right back with the latest on the Bruins next.
New day for the Bruins, Keefe. They're Celtics, rolling.
The Celtics are back.
Yeah.
Are the Bruins back?
They are not back in the playoffs. I can tell you that.
Are they not? They were briefly last night.
No,
are
they're not.
They didn't finish there after the full results?
So Tampa Bay won their last game, so they have the same number of points as Tampa, but they've played three more games.
You're right. They're out of the postseason.
So they're still, even with that win, nice win. No, really, legitimately a good win. Everybody thinks of being sarcastic all the time talking about the Bruins. I am not. It was a good win.
Really nice win,
oh,
Bruins.
Was it?
I loved it so much.
Yeah. They should be buyers. They should load up on this team, and they should never, ever, ever quit. No, but like Minnesota's a real team.
They are.
You know, they shut them out. They had a good overall game for sure. But they've been on this decline now for a little while. And then you see some of these other teams around them getting hot. The Red Wings can't lose. So eventually they should cool off, I would assume. But the Red Wings have won 7 in a row. And then that combined with just sort of like up and down play from everybody. And you've had so many games in hand on these teams that even on like days off, you can lose a lot of ground now. They're by no means definitely a playoff team. And Cam Neely himself said a few weeks back, like, they got to decide which path they're going
to
take.
So when it comes to Swayman, who had the shutout last night, 35 saves, I want to say he's rounding into form to a degree. And I think if you're going to go anywhere, go on a run to the postseason, or if you get there, and that's an if. Again, they don't wake up today in the playoffs. So if you even get there, how do you go on a run once you're there? You obviously need him to play better than he has for much of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he's rounding into form, but I'll give the Razor some credit here, Keith.
That's our guy.
And you can hear Andrew Raycroft tomorrow on a Bruins that's Thursday
right.
on WEEI Afternoons.
Huh?
4:30. Nice. No longer here with Jones and Keith.
What a shame.
Make sure you tune in for that. He pointed out before, you know, you look at the overall numbers for Swayman, and they're not good. But then you look at some of the individual games, and you go, okay, well, he's pretty good in that one. He was better in that one. He's rounding into form. He does have this proclivity to have these terrible games, like the six goals against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
You take out those games. You take out the bad games, and he's got a lot of good ones.
But it's just, that's
the Bruins as a team.
He does have
like
these flashes, but then he has 8 against Winnipeg, which they're at least a good team.
No, I know.
6 against Buffalo, these games come out of nowhere with him, and he's had a lot of them. So I want to give him credit for rounding into form, but another 6, 7, 8 goal game, another snowman's lurking right around the corner.
Absolutely. That's sort of been the whole season with the whole team. Swayman, for sure, but even some of these Korpisalo games, if you look back at it, they either win or get blown out. Like, they don't seem to lose a lot of close games. Now, they've played a ton of games. You can find a couple, but it's why their goal differential is so bad. It's like the second worst in the Eastern Conference, I believe. And even though they're like fighting and clawing for a playoff spot, they get absolutely worked over. But they give up 6, 7, 8 goals in games. Semi-regularly.
Bruins on goal differential are worse in the division, -23. They're now third worst in the East. Pittsburgh and Philly are both worse. But again, that's after a 3-0 win last night.
Yeah.
So that can change. It's still one of the worst in the NHL. San Jose, by miles, is the worst. Then Chicago and Nashville. But the Bruins are, you know, bottom 6 or 7.
And so I don't know if that's the metric. So they have 2 games before the Four Nations tournament thing. Mm-hmm. And then they have
a lot of buzz about that.
Oh, people won't shut up
people
about it.
People just won't stop squawking about it. What a move. Another brilliant marketing move by the NHL.
It's going to be really good.
On top of their marketing, for sure.
All the Russian players are like, so what do we do? What are we? Are we involved in this? No, we're not.
Yeah, so, our Bruins fans are like, oh, David Pastrnak's got to be in that, right? Not wrong. No, he's not in there. No.
Yeah. And then they have, I think it's 7 games, or give or take, after that.
7!
Before the trade deadline.
Yep.
So, you know, is this going to be as simple as, hey, if they're in, you buy, and then you're out, you sell? Or could it be like, how does Cam Neely view that? Does he say, hey, the team is playing well, and even though we're 1 point out, like, we're actually trending in the right direction, and Swayman's really got his game together, so we feel we're projecting this forward that we're going to be better? Or is it as simple as, let's look at the standings, you old Bill Parcells, like, your record says what you are,
so,
and that's what we do.
I'll say this. I think it's as simple as, if they fall apart, they're trading Marchand. And if they're in the mix, they're going to keep him and maybe make a supplemental move. I don't think they're giving up a first-round pick or anything like that. Maybe a mid-round pick to fill out your bottom six, something like that, where you're not really buyers per se, but you're at least trying to supplement the team. I think it's as simple as Marchand. You were telling me about this before the show today. Elliot Friedman is going on and on about not just that Marchand can get dealt, which he's mentioned in the past, but also Edmonton is a potential specific destination.
Yeah.
So do we have that or no, Nick? We were trying to search for that.
It was about an hour and 50 minutes.
So it's a lengthy podcast. The man has 32 thoughts. He's got thoughts on every team throughout the league. So it's a lengthy podcast that Nick was digging his way through. But long story short, he dismissed some of the Marchand chatter earlier in the year. Now there's legs to it, and he thinks Edmonton is a potential fit.
Yeah,
it's as simple as, if the Bruins are in it and they're playing well, I don't think they're going to sell Marchand.
Here's one of the quotes.
But if they fall off, they're going to deal him. Yeah, what's the quote?
Yeah, so Elliot Friedman was saying that if Boston takes on water, I'm really going to be curious to see where this goes. There was a time in this year where I didn't think there was a chance that Marchand was going to be out, and now I think it's not as certain depending on what happens here. So, yeah, at one point, maybe you wouldn't have traded your captain, then something happens, who knows, and maybe you decide to do it.
So after Rich Keefe, that's the best info man in the sport. And
he's right up there.
He's saying that if they keep taking on water, and last night they won, they beat a good Minnesota team. Twitch chat is right. Keefe and I got a text late in the show whether or not we'd lay the Boston parlay down. And both of us said, no, we don't have any faith in the Bruins.
You should have done it. You would have won.
So good win for the Bees last night. If they continue to take on water, which they didn't, they could sell Marchand, and the second best info guy on the sport feels that way.
He does. I guess in the Athletic, Alan Mitchell covers the NHL. He was writing about how, like, a few days ago, what a great addition Marchand would be for the Oilers. So I think that sort of, and that was just more speculation and just say, hey, what guy would fit where? And then Elliot Friedman sort of maybe took that and sort of responded to it, be like, yeah, that could happen.
Could get dealt. Yep. We'll get to your Bruins phone calls along with all your Celtics thoughts. Good win for both teams in Boston last
That's
night.
That's right.
Mark is in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Mac?
Hello, Mark. He's got Bruins thoughts. We can dig into those further. I just think Swayman to me is at the center of all of it. And I don't mean to dismiss the bad games in there. Yeah. I just think, just when you want to say he's rounding into form and playing better and figuring things out, you look at it and
it
go,
it could fall apart.
Yeah.
It could, just on a one-off.
Do I feel better about him? Sure. I mean, it's hard to feel worse than where the season started with the contract and everything else. But, yeah, I feel like another 6, 7, 8 goals against is right around the corner because he's done that all year long. Meanwhile, text here, 617-779-7937. This is on our discussion around Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Which Wiggy got going this morning. Guys, everyone overreacts to the littlest things. The Celtics won. Who cares who is playing? It's a team sport.
All right. So I'm curious. I am curious about that.
I am happy response. They won. You went into the game yesterday thinking in a 1 or 2 possession game, I guess it was a 2 possession game. It never got closer than that. A 2 possession game in which the Celtics at one point led by 20.
Yeah.
Against the best team in the league by record on the road. You went into yesterday saying Jaylen's going to sit the final half of the fourth quarter. You expected that? So no one expected that. That's why we're bringing that up. Why? I'm not telling you I know why Mazzulla went away from him. Maybe Jaylen told him to F off. Maybe the team was just hot without him out there.
Yeah.
Maybe he was dinged up like Forsberg suggested. There's nothing to that story that Jaylen sat the final 5.5 minutes of the game? That's odd.
I also feel like it'd be tough to talk about sports for 4 hours if you're just like, they won, they lost. Next game's tomorrow. Like, don't you want to sort of like dig into it a little bit more?
Okay. No, yeah, Keith. Yeah. The Bruins and Celtics won. Enough.
Right.
Show's over.
They're good.
Honestly, I would.
It'd be pretty hilarious.
I don't know if Mike Thomas and Ken would sign off on that schedule, but I would work on that schedule.
It's like, guys, they won last night. We came in and said that they won.
We're going home now.
We got to wait for more results.
WEEI afternoons take over. What do you want from us?
Coming up next, they're also going to tell you that they won. I don't know. I feel like it jumps
listen
out.
On the podcast. We already told you.
I feel like it jumps out a little bit. Like, you know, why didn't he play? Now, unfortunately, there was no question and answer from Joe Mazzulla.
No.
Which we also could have read into and picked that apart. And the caller would say, hey, just take him at his word for it. Or the texter would say that. But
why are you even asking?
Yeah, no, I don't know. And he looked a little perturbed. But he could be perturbed for a number of reasons. He could be annoyed that his ankle got rolled. He could be annoyed that, you know, he was on fire in the first quarter and then kind of cooled off. Like, the way the game started, you're like, Jaylen's
what
did
he score there?
50 points?
He scored their first 13. What he
I think it was.
Something like that
last
night.
I think it was.
And so he's the only guy who
could
hit a bucket.
Like a 50-point game.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. Feels like they righted the ship. Bruins, are they turning things around? Swayman at the heart of it for the Bees. I thought Tatum had a real good night last night while Brown was benched down the stretch. You can jump in on all of it. Plus, we've been talking Super Bowl 59 all week long. We'll continue to do so. We're giving you our 5 prop bets each and every day. We'll give you 5 more in Propapalooza next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Talking Celtics and Bruins to start the show. We'll get back into Super Bowl 59. Where do these two quarterbacks stack up? In the top 10 of the NFL, I think you have a good idea on where Mahomes is going to check in. How about Jalen Hurts? And where does Drake May fit into all of it? We'll get to that. At 11 o'clock, ranking the top 10 quarterbacks for 2025. Does Drake May make the cut compared to these two? You'll find out coming up about 15 minutes from now. Plus, more thoughts on the Celtics and the Bruins. Both win last night. Both Keith and I suggested not to take the Boston Sports Parlay.
No. We said Celtics would win, though.
We did feel good about the Celtics.
We gave you that. We gave you a winner.
Yes. Bruins, not so much. So we'll see
just
if we
really
can do any better.
Thinking, Bruins win, Pastrnak goal every game. Just do that. Seems to hit.
Well, the assist. Pastrnak point, maybe.
Yeah, Pastrnak point.
Yeah. Maybe you could ride that one. 11-game point streak, Keith.
Guy's a point machine.
Coincides with
with nothing.
I don't think we even need to say it.
No.
So, not a great bet for us last night. We'll try to do better in the Propapalooza.
That's right.
5 prop bets that we'll do leading up to the Super Bowl. 5 per day, I should say, leading up to the Super Bowl. That means we'll pick you 25 by the end of the week. We're 2 days into it. What do we have here today, Keith?
Yeah, we'll put those out by the end of the week, too, and we'll make a graphic, and you can follow along so you can compete against us, against everybody else, and see what the unanimous bets are. So far, only 2 of the 10 bets all four of us have agreed on. You, me, Billy, and Nick. So let's start today with A.J. Brown receiving yards in the game on Sunday, over or under 70.5.
Well, I've told you I feel like the Eagles are going to be playing from behind and needing to throw to catch up. I don't feel great about Devontae Smith or Dallas Goedert. I actually saw Goedert is a pretty popular prop out there.
He's like 52.5, I think.
Yeah, so if you're going to throw to somebody, I think it's going to be A.J. Brown. He had a slow start to the postseason. He was great in the NFC title game against the Commanders. I think A.J. Brown goes over 70.5. I'd like to see the number a little lower, but I think he has a big game, so I'll go over.
So I'm going to say over as well because, obviously, I really want A.J. Brown in the offseason. I want them to be able to trade for him. And if he has a really bad performance and a loss, I feel like there's a better chance of it, which, unfortunately, I don't think is going to happen. Even if there's a loss, I think he's going to still play well. That's going to kind of muddy the situation, and maybe he'll just end up being back in Philadelphia. So I think he does have a good game. So give me the over on that. Billy?
Everyone's favorite bookworm. Give me the over.
That's right.
Is this a clean sweep, Nick?
It's a clean sweep going over.
Okay. Well, throw that one out then. Throw out that bet.
Yeah, that one's going to lose. But I'm telling you, some book company or publisher should get to him.
Penthouse.
Bring it back. He could revive Penthouse. Because the book that he was reading on the sideline became number one, like, everywhere.
He should read the Penthouse letters on the sideline. That's what he should be reading.
Great again.
Yeah. If he did that, if he was flipping through. Like an old Baseball Weekly. Just like the newspaper.
Beckett.
Al Maybe Biggins.
Go through a nice Beckett.
Yeah, like how much are cards worth?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, during the Super Bowl, if they show him just once, priceless. They should give
SI for kids.
Yeah. Give him like 10 grand. $10 million.
Who was the guy at the end of Sports Illustrated for Kids, a little cartoon? But was his name Buzz?
Oh, I can't remember the name.
I don't know. What about like an old Ranger Rick?
He's I just there. Always enjoyed it because it was like Barry Bonds enjoys this food.
Yeah, he dislikes
this stuff.
Yeah. That guy, he's just like me. He likes ice cream too.
I enjoy pizza.
Yeah, hell yeah,
just
Barry.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, it's lower on the list on Super Bowl Sunday. Were they giving you the business today during the crossover for the tiers?
Well, no. Okay. I think both Greg and Courtney were more on board.
Shime was steaming about the pizza.
But who respects Shime's opinion when it comes to really anything?
Yeah, that's, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
All right, so we're all going over there. All right, how about this? Very simple. First play of the game. First offensive play of the game. Run or pass?
Okay. Can I just ask for background information? I'm going to go run. But can I ask for background information? It has to be heavy minus money for run, no?
Last I checked, I think it was like minus 130 for run, like plus 110 for pass.
Okay. So I mean,
it's pretty close to a 50-50. I try not to do anything too lopsided.
I will go run. You know, if the Eagles get the ball first, I'd certainly imagine they're starting off by running. Maybe if the Chiefs start with the ball, I'd feel a little differently, but I'll go with a run to start the game.
I'm going to go run also. I think it's because even if it is the Chiefs, that's the one where you like pause a second. You're like, what are they going to do here? But they might hand it to Hunt and just go from there.
Yeah, or they might do some like wild trick play where it's reversed to Xavier Worthy or something like that. Yeah. Like, I mean, and it could still be a run. Even though they feel a little more creative offensively, they could still start with a run. So I'll go run on that one. Billy?
Give me a run. A game of clock management. Give me a run right out of the gate.
Yep.
All right. I guess this is another clean sweep.
No!
We're all going to run.
All right.
This is not looking good. No. All right, this one, there's no way this is a clean sweep.
And
this
one, agreement.
There are odds out there. You can't bet on this everywhere, but there are places that you can, and most of it's plus money. Like, it's weighted. Some of them are longer shots. But what will be the first song performed by Kendrick Lamar at halftime?
So I have not looked up any of these odds. Maybe you can inform me on where this song comes in. I'd imagine it comes in highly on the list. I would say he starts with Humble.
Okay, you're going.
Shime told me Humble was the betting favorite today.
Is it?
Okay, is it good. Really?
Interesting. I don't know. I have not looked at the props, but I would think that would be high on the list.
Humble is, but it's still plus money.
That's the betting favorite, though.
Right now, plus 160. I'm going to go with Not Like Us right off the rip.
Just get that.
Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play?
Rip that Band-Aid off. Yeah. Get it right out of the way.
Rather than have people wait for it, just show up with the big hit. I mean, they're all big hits, but I'm saying like the one that is being the most talked about.
Yeah,
you just won the Grammy for
the controversy. Yeah. Get that out there. Start with it. Yep. Don't think. Just throw.
No, nope, that's what I think. So that's plus 380.
Okay.
All right. So I'll preface this by saying I had to Google Kendrick Lamar songs because nothing shows my age more than my ignorance towards new music.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say on the biggest stage in the world, they're going to bond. They're getting back together. I'm saying the song is going to be Effin' Problems featuring Drake.
Wow.
Wow.
That would be a game
that
changer.
That would be quite.
That would be.
It would get the people talking.
Oh, would they ever?
Are there even odds on that?
No. Not that I see. But that doesn't mean it can't.
It's off the board.
It doesn't mean it can't still hit. Well,
what a prediction for Bill is what that
maybe
is.
That'd be like under the field. I don't know.
So we've had too much agreement on this. This is some good discrepancy. Go ahead, Nick.
Great.
I came back with it for a reason because I feel like that's the song it's going to be. I think it's going to be DNA. I was between DNA and Humble because those are his two biggest hits.
Okay.
So I'm going with DNA.
Okay.
They also have a prop for last song where Not Like Us is the favorite. But I think he surprises people and has that be the first song.
I think that might be it because the whole crowd just yells A minor and Kendrick Lamar walks off. I think that might be it.
Yeah, it might be the last. I'm still going with first. All right.
Room for friendship.
Friendship is undefeated, Bill. So
building bridges at the Super Bowl.
That's right. That'd be nice. Nice message. Saquon Barkley's longest run in the game, over under 25 and a half yards.
So I wish the prop was a little bit higher. I'm still going under 25 and a half. He can be ripping off 20-yard runs. I don't think any human can keep ripping off 60-yard touchdowns every single week. I don't think you can do that over and over again.
Too.
It is. It gave him some big runs to James Cook, but largely I feel like they're a good defense. And I think Spagnuolo can take away weapons. He's not going to allow Saquon Barkley to do nothing, but I'm going to be on the underside of most of Saquon's props, so I'll go under 25.
Well, so I was like, should I diversify? Because I went under 109.5 yards for the game, so I'm also going to take the under on this one because you're really threading the needle if he rips one higher than this and then still hits the under. It's possible. He did it last week.
I was going to say, in the NFC title game, he ripped off a long run to start. He still hit his overall under. He would have hit the over on the longest run.
But his total was a lot higher. It wasn't like 120 higher. Or something insane?
Yes.
So because he was over 100 yards.
It might have been like 130.
It was.
That game
I remember it was like I gasped when I saw it. So I will go under 25 and a half rush, longest run for Saquon. Billy?
I'm taking the over, and I'm going to kind of mix this in with the first one. First play of the game breaks one off for at least 30 yards.
Oh,
I like that. Wow.
Yeah, good odds for that.
I bet real nice
if you predict the first play.
On that one.
I also saw a prop that was Saquon Barkley, 5 touchdowns, was plus... Man, what was it?
20,000?
No, it was like plus 1,500,000. It was like something like 50, like a ton of zeros.
That's probably worth plunking down.
It's kind of fun, right?
Like it's just 10 cents.
That's put a buck down on 5 tugs.
That's in the range of outcomes. He easily could have scored 5 times against the Commanders last year. Easily. I mean, the Commanders are a much worse team than the Chiefs, but like he easily could have done that in that game.
Well, but Hurts steals him from him.
That's a good point.
All right, Nick, what do you got on Saquon?
I'm going over. I can't get out of James Cook running all over the Chiefs last week, and the Bills just stopped handing him the ball. And then Eagles aren't going to do that, so give me over.
All right, last one for today. Kansas City Chiefs rookie wide receiver Xavier Worthy receptions over under 5.5.
I'm on the under of this. I feel good about Kelsey having a good game. I feel pretty good about Kareem Hunt, them leaning on him, having a good game. I even think Hollywood Brown might make some plays in this game.
You like Hollywood Brown.
I am on the under. I like Xavier Worthy
as
well.
That's a weird blind spot that you have.
But I'm on the under of 5.5. He could have a good game and have 4 or 5 catches and still be impactful. I'm not going to bet on 6, 7, 8 catches that
year. I'm going to take the over. I mean, the last, two games, did he go over or no?
Certainly last game he went over against the Commanders,
All right, so against, Xavier Worthy. We're talking about.
I'm sorry. Last game against the Bills, rather.
I'll take the over because even some of those little quick passes that look like runs sometimes go down as passes that Mahomes does, like if he's going in motion and things like that. So I'll take the over on Xavier Worthy.
Taking the over, slinging it. I looked it up. He had 5 against the Texans, 7 against. No, no, sorry. 5 against the Texans, 6 against Buffalo. Give me the over.
Right. Yeah, so that's 1 under and 1 over. Yep.
If this was touches, I'd feel really good about it because he gets hands-offs a lot.
That's true.
So I'll take the under on 5.5 catches.
Okay. Tally all those up. Prop-a-palooza, 5 prop bets every day at 10:45 leading up to Super Bowl 59. We have Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts going head-to-head on Sunday. Where do they stack up in the top 10 quarterbacks in 2025 in the NFL? And where does Drake May fit in on that list? Does he make the cut? You'll find out next.